Well, the Lord's given me a word to preach, and I hope you have an ear to hear what the Bible would say. Amen. I don't ever take it lightly. Amen. To stand here and preach, what an honor. Amen. This is maybe the, not maybe, but it is the hardest job I've ever done. Amen. A lot of jobs you can get good at if you do it over and over. But this job, you need God every moment. Amen. We need Him more today than we did when we started. Amen. Thankful for this Spanish work that's started last Sunday. And Brother Goodrum will be preaching to them again today. And we're excited about that. 3 o'clock. Anybody that wants to come is welcome. Amen. You may learn a different language. Thank you, Jesus. If you got your Bible, 2 Samuel, the 23rd chapter. Amen. I'm going to preach to you what God has laid upon my heart. Amen. You never know who's going to be here, who ain't going to be here. I know God will be here. So I just talk to Him and say, Lord, what do you want me to preach? I never bought a book of 1,000 sermons or got online and tried to find one. I did it like the old prophets used to do. Amen. They would just start crying out to God. Amen. We need you, Lord. We need a word. We need a timely word. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. 2 Samuel 23 and 13. And 3 of the 30 chief went down and came to David in the harvest time unto the cave of Adullam. And the troop of the Philistines pitched in the valley of Rephaim. And David was then in an hold. And the garrison of the Philistines was then in Bethlehem. So David's hiding in a cave. And the enemy is where he grew up. And David longed and said, oh, that one would give me drink of the water of the well of Bethlehem, which is by the gate. David longed. Everybody say he longed. Oh, that one would give me a drink of the water of the well of Bethlehem, which is by the gate. Amen. This is the words, the absolute words the Lord gave to me yesterday. A drink you will never forget. Set your Bibles down and lift your hands and your voices to the Lord. I need some prayer warriors to help me pray right now. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, Tata. Ooh, Maha. God, I want you to minister to people. Hallelujah, hallelujah. We need it again today, God. Come on, can you join up with somebody next to you if it's appropriate? Let's pray together in the name of Jesus. Come on, lift your voice while you're praying with them. Come on, is there anybody hungry and thirsty for more of God in the house? Hallelujah. 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 God, we're a hungry people. We're a thirsty people. Hallelujah. Yay, Lord. Yay, Lord. Yay, Lord. Don't pass us by. Ooh, stop by one more time, Jesus. Help us one more time, Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Now can you put your hands together in a way of worship? Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Somebody shout glory. Amen. You can be seated. Thank you for standing. I want to preach about a drink that you will never forget. Praise God. Amen. David grew up in the Judean hills that were just south of Jerusalem, around the city called Bethlehem. David was the youngest of the 8 sons of Jesse. He was the great-grandson of Boaz, who married Ruth. And David spent a lot of his young life caring for his father's sheep. Amen. You could say that he was a shepherd boy. And in doing so, taking care of his father's sheep, he would move around and he would see different parts of the area and in different places and different terrains. And as a leader of sheep, his job was, first of all, to make sure the sheep had pasture to eat and food to eat. The Bible would tell us, if you love my sheep, feed them. Praise God. If you love them, feed them. Praise God. Amen. But not only did he have to make sure that they had pasture, but he also had to make sure that they had water to drink. Amen. And because of this, there's no doubt, as David would wander around the Judean hills, that he could tell you where every well was and every body of water and every stream and every brook and every creek. Sometimes people say in other areas, crick. Amen. But that's something in your neck. Amen. But David knew where all the water was, because it was his job while these sheep were eating, that he would be thinking, I wonder where we could get to where we could get a good drink of water when this day is over. Amen. And so he had drank out of every well in the countryside, every brook in the countryside, every body of water in the countryside. David had drank out of it. But obviously there was something that was very special to David about this one particular well. And the Bible would say it was the well that was by the gate. Everybody say, by the gate. This well was by the gate in Bethlehem. Amen. This water must have been so different and tasted so good to David that it made an impact on his life. And I believe that he would probably make his route, if he was planning his route for his sheep for the day, maybe we can make it back around to where I could get one more drink from the well that was by the gate. Amen. When he would drink from this well, obviously you could tell by later on in the writings that this was a drink that David would never, ever forget about. Amen. Some people say all water tastes the same. I would absolutely disagree with that fact. Amen. I like water in green bottles that comes from the mountain valley. I'm out of it. You can tell today I didn't do good and go get me any. But amen, it just, somebody said it all tastes the same. No, it don't taste the same. Amen. There are certain waters that people like that smell like a rotten egg to me. Amen. Some of them taste like dirt. Some of them are all kind of different things. But the mountain valley is my favorite kind of water. If I said, hey, get me something to drink, it would be in a green bottle, I promise you. Amen. But there was a gate that had a well beside it that was David's favorite place to drink water. This water was a life-changing water. Amen. It was a water. It was a flavor. It was a taste. It was an experience, amen, that he would carry with him the rest of his life. Amen. As I began to pray yesterday, I was thinking about the importance of making sure that our young people and our young couples and our old couples and our old people and young people, everything in between, amen, get a taste of this wonderful water that I'm going to call the Holy Ghost experience. Amen. The reason it's so important, amen, for people to get a drink from this fountain that I'm going to preach about is so that they will have something to compare it to. Let me tell you, there's going to be a lot of other waters and a lot of other sources and a lot of other things that would like to feel your thirst. There's going to be a lot of temptations. There's going to be a lot of billboards. There's going to be a lot of websites that would like to feel your thirst. Amen. And so it makes it very important that you get a hold of something that's real, something that's powerful, something that's forever, something that's life-changing, something you'll never forget as long as you live. Boy, I want to preach to this church. Amen. Why do you need a Holy Ghost breakthrough? Because if nothing else, you need something you'll never forget about. When the enemy comes and he begins to tempt you with all kinds of things, your mind will go back. No, I found something a lot better than this. Come on, let's praise him in this house. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Amen. I was thinking about churches who, when their young people get 18, they're gone and you never see them again. I thought they're trying to figure out how on earth do we keep our young people. And let me tell you how you keep your young people. You take them to the well. Don't let them run around downstairs playing and out in the foyer and sitting there playing video games. Take them to the well. Come on, I'm preaching to another generation. Amen, that'll never forget what they found at the well. Amen, if we can get it in them and get a taste for the things of God. Come on, lift your hands to the Lord together. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Amen, this Holy Ghost is a drink that you will never forget. Amen. If you ever tasted this Holy Ghost one time and walk out on God, you can sit at the bar and you can go to the ball games and do whatever you want. But down deep inside, you're going to know there's something better than what I got right now. You can gain the wealth of the world. And you can fulfill the lust of your flesh all you want, but there'll still be something in the back of your mind that says there's something a lot better than what I got right now. Amen. If you've ever been to the well, you'll never forget it. Come on, help me pray right now. I need God to help me in the name of Jesus Christ. Come against every devil in hell that would try to pull people, try to torment people. Yea, Lord. What is the purpose of pushing people through? Amen. We're trying to get your taste buds correct. Amen. We're trying to get you to taste something, amen, that's better than anything in this world. My Bible said it is joy unspeakable. You know what that means? There's not a word in the English language or the Hebrew language or the Greek language to describe how good it is to get down in the middle of a red hot prayer meeting. Come on, I'm going to preach a little while. Amen. Has it been too long since you drank from the well? Ooh, Baba. Hallelujah. So when David is in the trial of his life, he's longing for that water, not just any water, but when he's in the trial, He's craving a particular water. Ooh, my. You may not think you need it when everything's going well, but let me tell you, you need it.
Amen. Don't let the enemy lie to you when the bills are paid and the body is healthy. And amen, to make you think you don't need it. Amen, because God's got a way of getting you in a cave somewhere on the backside of the desert. If you've ever tasted of it, my friend, amen, he's in the dark trial of his life. Amen, and in this trial, he starts thinking, man, I would sure love to have a drink of that water. What water are you talking about, David? Well, y'all don't know anything about it, he's saying. Amen, but this is a well that I've been drinking of, amen, for a long time. When I was learning to play the harp, amen, when I was just learning how to live for God, learning how to write a song, learning how to kill a lion, learning how to kill a bear. Amen, I used to end up in the evenings at this well. Amen, and this well, it's got the best water. Amen, it's got life-changing water. Amen, no doubt they were sitting there thinking, David, amen, there's water everywhere. Amen, there's churches everywhere. There's preachers everywhere. There's programs everywhere. Amen, we're not trying to compete with people's programs. We're trying to dig out a well. I said we're trying to dig out a well where our young people can get a drink. Amen. Hey, if you ain't got nothing else to pray about, you ought to at least get a shovel and dig out a well where the next generation can experience something that you experience. Hallelujah. Don't let us get to the place, amen, where we're satisfied and we don't want anything else and don't need anything else. Amen. Praise God. Why do I always say my pastor said? You know why I always say that? Because I always listened. My pastor said, why don't we plant some trees that we'll never sit under the shade of? Well, I got my $40. Amen. I'm good. I got my deal taken care of. I got my new tires paid for. No. Amen. Praise God. I got a responsibility. I got a burden in my spirit. What's your burden? I know if these young people don't ever get a drink of it, they're lost. Because the world's got its own drinks. Let me tell you, everything God's got that's real, the world's got something fake just like it. Every time Moses throws his rod down, this world will try to throw their rod down. Amen. But if we ever get them drunk on this well, if they ever get a drink from this well, Jim Beam won't taste good to them. Man, what's the point? This is the point. We're living life and it's real. And it's got real problems and it's got real trials and real things we have to go through. Amen. I want my young people, I want my next generation, I want them to know where to look. Oh, I'm going to plow a little while. I want them to know where to go when they end up in trouble. Help me. Help me, Jesus. Think about young people that when they feel a little discouraged would run to an altar and pray. Get a drink. Where do they get that from? They got to see somebody else do it. Now, if every time you end up in trouble, you just decide to quit the church for a couple weeks and talk about you, that's what they going to do. You learn from your parents. Sometimes you learn the wrong. If you learn the wrong thing, you got to break it. Help me, God. I don't believe in generational curses, but I do believe in generational tendencies. Generational tendencies is you'll probably do what you've always seen done. But when you open that book, if what you've seen done is not right, you got to break the tendency. You got to start a new one. Amen. And we're going to start a new one. We're going to start going back to the well. Well, I was born and I've got nerve problems. Well, praise God. I do too, probably. I was born and I got anger problems. Well, praise God. Everybody else does too. Amen. I was born and I'm just a doubter. Well, join the club. Everybody else is full of it. But at some point in your life, you got to say, I'm not going to be that anymore. I may be in a cave. I may not have any hope. It may look dark. It may look bleak. But I know there's a well in Bethlehem. Hey, man, if I can just get there and get one more drink, it's going to satisfy. Come on, lift your hands to the Lord. Hallelujah. Come on, help me pray for a moment. Hallelujah, God. Fill somebody with the Holy Ghost today. Oh, but fill up a dry soul today too, God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Teach people to come to the water today. Hallelujah, hallelujah. You wonder why people in our world turn to pills, and you know why they turn to alcohol? It's because they've never tasted of this well. Hey, everybody ought to be doing outreach. Everybody ought to be texting somebody and inviting somebody to church. Well, I don't want to text them because they're pot smokers. You know why they're pot smokers? Because they ain't never tasted of this well. They ain't never had the Holy Ghost hit them at the top of their head. They ain't never sat there talking in English and all of a sudden they can't talk in English anymore. Hey, if they ever tasted it one time. Hey, we're the ones that's got the message. If anybody ought to be a big mouth, it ought to be the Church of the Living God. Well, I'm a little more reserved. You know what? You need a vision of what hell's going to be like. I don't think anybody would be reserved if you walked outside and there was a car on fire and there was somebody inside it. Well, I would love to open that door, but I'm a little shy. Hey, a revelation will get you out of your shyness. Oh, God. Amen. Praise God. Well, I'm having fun right now. I'm doing what I love to do right now. Amen. Encourage people to go back to the well. Hallelujah. Why are you encouraged? Why is it? Because you're going to end up in a doolum someday. Amen. The Bible never said that you would never go through a trial. You're going to go through trials. Amen. I've probably been through more than it seemed like after God than before God. Hallelujah. You know what I say, God? Just keep on purging if there's anything else. Do what you got to do. Don't take your Holy Spirit from me. Hallelujah. That's why the world's turning to everything they turn to. And when it don't work, they go to something else. You know why? Because the flesh is never satisfied. It can do the peel and then do the pot and then do the line and then do the shoot up and then what are they? They're trying to find the well. And we know where the well's at. Come on, we're not talking about something we don't know about. We're talking about something we tasted and we've seen. Hallelujah. Praise God. Surely the people of God wouldn't turn to goofy stuff when we're in trouble. Well, the doctor prescribed me this dope card that I got. Amen. This must be legal, Pastor. I got a dope card. Well, let me tell you what the first sin was. You turned to the wrong place. That's the very first sin, is that you turn to the wrong place. When you got anxiety, you know what you need to do? You need to anxiously pursue Him. Amen. Praise God. I don't know why I'm preaching about pot. Maybe because every time I do outreach, I get a buzz. Every door I knock on, I just sit in the truck for a while, shake my head. Amen. I thought, my Lord, this guy. I'm thinking I could buy him church. He ain't gonna remember one thing I said. And I thought, there's church people that do that. Second problem with it, I don't know why I'm preaching about this, but I'm having fun. The second problem is anything that impairs your judgment in order to prevent you from making right decisions, Solomon said, it's not for royalty. He said, let those with no hope do that, but not the people of God. Let the people of God keep their right mind. Well, hallelujah, I'm going to put them out of business before it's over. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Besides the fact that it causes high blood pressure, destroys brain cells, causes mood disorders, nervous disorders. What's it? Praise the Lord. The well don't do that. Well, hang on, it does a little bit. It will change your mood, but not in a bad way. If you come in hurt, you're going to walk out good. If you walk in depressed, you can walk out happy. If you walk in sad, come on, I'm going to preach about the well. I'm going to preach about the well. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Amen. Amen. The Bible says that the garrison of the Philistines was in Bethlehem. In other words, the enemy was blocking the best water that you could get your hands on. Let me just break it down for you a little bit. Your enemy ain't guarding something that's bad for you. The enemy ain't trying to stop you from doing something that's bad for you. The enemy wants to stand in front of something that's good for you. Praise God. Come on, I'm going to help your discernment right now. Hey, man, this is how you discern whether it's good or bad. Is the enemy trying to block me or encourage me? The Bible said the enemy was blocking the well. When you see the enemy, you ought to think, you know what? I promise you, there's something real good right behind those enemy lines. There ought a light bulb go off in your mind that says, if the enemy's trying to stop me, it must be good for me. If the enemy's encouraging it, it must not be good for me. Come on, this ain't rocket science. Hang on. Praise God. You know, you're old. You ought to just lay on that pillow a little longer. Praise God. There's no need in you going to church on Sunday morning. He's just probably going to preach about prayer again. Can I tell you what the enemy's trying to block? That ought to fire you up. That ought to make you hungrier for what's behind the enemy's line. Knowing he's trying to keep me from. Amen. When I'm trying to pray and people are, hey, can I ask you something? Something's trying to stop me from getting a breakthrough. While they're singing, "How great thou art," the Spirit of God blowing up in this place. Hey, how are you? Did you plant your potatoes yet? What's going on? Come on, church, there's something trying to block you. Something's, and if you realize something's trying to block you, it ought to make you more determined. Get off of me. It ain't Easter yet. It don't plant potatoes yet. Get away from me. Come on, I'm trying to help somebody. It's time to put your thinking cap on. Hey, we're going for the well. That's different than any other well. You'll never forget it. Torabai, lift your hands to the Lord. Yea, God. When the Bible said, "Forsake not the assembling together of yourself," amen. You know that's God saying, "I want you together. I want you to come together." Amen. When the enemy tries to stop you, it ought to be a wake-up call in your spirit that said, if I got to drag this leg in, there must be something I'm about to go get. Amen. If I got to take a headache pill, if I got to whatever, I don't care. If the enemy tries to stop, there must be water. There must be something beautiful about to happen in the house of God today. Boy, I feel like, I want to tell you, my Lord, I got too many words for this mouth. I wish I had two mouths and y'all had four ears and a dual processor. Man, we could get a lot of stuff done. I'm telling you, God's gave me messages, Brother Goodrum, and in the message, I seen a vision of the person. It was far, and I get there the next day, and they're not there. You know what happened? The garrison of the Philistines, amen, was there while I was praying also, and he... Whatever I can do, amen, if I got to call them, text them, what, push them, amen. Family reunion, you're not coming to my birthday party? I told them a long time ago, if you want me to go to your birthday party, it better not be on a Sunday. If you want me to go to your family reunion, it better not be on a Sunday. Amen, there ain't a Philistine going to stop me from getting to the well. Amen, I done figured it out. There ain't nothing as important as the well. He said, I didn't come to bring peace. I brought a sword. I love families. I think it's the most beautiful thing. But I ain't got honey religion. You know what honey religion is? If honey backs up, I'm going to back up to you. If honey don't go to church, I guess I'll sit here and hold her hand. Praise God. I hope she comes with me. But if she don't, I'm not going to go to hell. I was in my right mind when I made this decision. When I decided to live for God, I made a commitment to God. There ain't a devil in hell, a person on earth, a spirit, an angel. There ain't nothing gonna stop me. me from going back to the well. Hallelujah. When you look and you see the enemy, you should just automatically know there's something on the other side of it that's worth fighting for. Hallelujah. Praise God. The enemy never fought me when I was driving down the road dipping snuff and listening to Hank Williams Jr. The devil never tormented me. God did. Praise God. So if the enemy is mad at me today, trying to block, that ought to let you know, hey, I must be doing this right. He's trying to keep you from prayer. Well, you know, gas is 304 or whatever. Don't even look at it. Just pray while you pump it. In Jesus' name. God, this is my go to prayer meeting gas. This is my going to the well gas. Y'all sitting there like, well, that's old school. No, this ain't old school. This is new school. Amen. Praise God. We were pouring the footer on the porch, and I did the math, and it said 17 yards of concrete. I don't know why. I was just there, and there was witnesses there, other people, and I thought, I'm only going to get one truck. They haul 10 yards. I was just at that point, I was sick and tired of spending money, Brother Brooks. I said, I'm going to get one truck. Praise God. And he started pouring out that concrete. Did you know math don't lie? Two fishes and five loaves. Amen. Except God gets up in the middle of it. And that concrete truck started pouring out concrete. And he made it all the way down that side. And I was like, praise God. Started going down the front. And I thought, well, he's probably about to start rattling. It would be awesome if this somehow goes all the way across the front. Praise God. And he starts coming back up this way. Hey, driver, how much more concrete you got? He said, I don't know. It ain't started rattling yet, so I guess we got plenty. I said, praise God, we'll keep on pouring. Poured every bit of the footer and started going back and refilling it all. I told the driver, I said, you know it's illegal to haul 17 yards concrete. You're over the limit, right? That thing won't even hold 17. But you know, you've been going to the well, you can expect things to change in your life. Hallelujah. When you ain't been going the well, it'll take 27 yards. It'll take three trucks when you quit praying like you ought to. Hey, I done found out the easy way is just go ahead and go back to the well every morning. Go ahead and give me another drink. I don't know what's going to happen today, but I got a feeling I'm going to need it. Hallelujah. Oh, Lord, I got so much to preach. Amen. Can you put up John chapter 4? Praise God. Don't mean to put Sister Nicole on the spot. Sister Nicole Young. Praise God. Brother Nick Young's wife. Oh, sound. Thank you, Lord. No. Amen. I've been wanting to do that a long time. See, when you're a pastor, you got to save stuff. I'm like, thank you. She's awesome. She was trained by Sister Angelina. So if she didn't find it, praise God. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Go to the fifth verse. Amen. Then cometh he to a city of Samaria, which is called Sychar. This is Jesus. Near to the parcel ground that Jacob gave to his son Joseph. Now Jacob's well was there. And Jesus, therefore, being wearied with his journey, sat thus on the well. And it was about the sixth hour. And there cometh a woman of Samaria to draw water. Jesus saith unto her, give me to drink. For his disciples were gone away unto the city to buy meat. And then saith the woman of Samaria unto him, how is it that thou, being a Jew, askest drink of me, which am a woman of Samaria? For the Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans. And Jesus answered and said unto her, if thou knewest the gift of God, if you would have had a pastor, if you would have got up and went to church, seem like the people that skip church are always the ones with the problems. You make eye contact with that camera. He said, if you would have knew the gift of God and who it is that saith to thee, give me to drink, thou wouldest have asked of him, and he would have given thee living water. And the woman saith unto him, sir, thou hast nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. Boy, this is a deep well. Amen. And you can go as deep as you want to. Amen. She said, from whence then hast thou that living water? Art thou greater than our father Jacob? He's probably sitting there grinning from ear to ear because he said Jacob's grandpa Abraham before Abraham was. I am. Amen. What kind of question is that? Are you greater than Jacob, which gave us this well and drank thereof himself and his children and his cattle? Jesus answered and said unto her, whosoever drinketh of this water shall thirst again. But whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him will never forget it. Amen. Shall never thirst. But the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life. Amen. Praise God. Jesus and this Samaritan woman are having a conversation at the well. And he asked her, I want you to give me something to drink. And I want to let you know that her biggest hang up was who she was and who he was. What'll stop you from getting what you need from God is thinking about who you really are and who he really is. And if you allow it, amen, my kata, if you sit there and dwell on it long enough, well, I'm just a low-life redneck, blah, blah, done this, done that, and he's the mighty God, holy, holy, great thou art, and all that, you'll talk yourself right out of getting a miracle. Amen. Her shock was, I'm a Samaritan, and you're a Jew, and the Jews have nothing to do with us. Praise God. Amen. And we walk in with the exact same spirit on us. I let God down this week. And he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And I ain't got it together yet. And I just keep on doing this. So I'll just talk myself right out of getting a drink. Praise God. I don't know if you like this, but this is good preaching right here. Amen. This is go to heaven kind of preaching right here. Amen. She's thinking, I'm not good enough to talk to this guy. This guy's too good to talk to me. Amen. And people walk in and the devil's been telling them how bad they were and how they were raised and what their last name is, and the preacher's preaching. There's a God that wants to fill you with the Holy Ghost. Amen. And you're sitting there thinking, well, maybe other people. Maybe some of those kind of PKs, those preacher's kids. Amen. Maybe God will help them. But not a Samaritan. Praise God. Hallelujah. And she said, what are you doing even talking to me? Praise God. I feel like people say that sometimes. God, why are you even dealing with me? Praise God. God, I'm unworthy for you to deal with me. Can I just give you just a little precedent that God said in the Bible? Let me tell you, if he starts the conversation, he's got a purpose for you. See, long before I thought I was worthy enough to even live for God, when I'd try to go to sleep at night, he'd show up. Praise God. He'd start wearing me out. He'd start pulling on me. When I thought, there's no way. Boy, them people got it all together. My Lord, they got their clothes are so nice. And they must have Italian cologne on. There ain't no way I could. Praise the Lord. God, she opened her mouth. I'm shocked you're even talking to me. You know what Jesus' response was? Can I say it like I would say it if he was right here speaking English? If you knew who it was that opened this conversation. See, she was saying, what could I give him? He's a Jew. And he's asking me for water. What do I got to give to God? What would I have that would be good enough to even? When she asked that question, he said, if you knew who was standing here, if you knew the gift of God, if you knew how merciful I was, if you knew that I was about to lay down my life for all of mankind, if you knew this plan had been created from the foundations of the world, when I asked you for something to drink, you'd have been like, hang on, buddy. Give me some of that living water. He told me, I come to preach to somebody today. There's a God in heaven, amen, that's interested in making deals with you. Amen. And our mind is like, what could I give him? God's saying, I want you. Praise the Lord. I want all of you. Don't you know I grew up at a honky-tonk? Don't you know I grew up somewhere else? Don't you know I grew up in dysfunctional home. I didn't have a mom. I didn't have a dad. Let me tell you, if God shows up at the well where you're at, if God shows up at the job site that you're at, he shows up at the bed you're laying down in and starts talking to you and starts dealing with you, you know what you ought to do with that condemnation? This must be the Philistines trying to block me. This thought in my mind that I'm not worthy enough to even be standing here. That must be the Philistines trying to block me from getting the most wonderful experience. Come on, I feel the Holy Ghost right now. I feel it in my spirit. God is wanting to give somebody a drink in this house, amen, that you will never, ever forget. I feel like there's people, you've even had a touch of the Holy Ghost, amen, and there's so much more that God wants to do in your life, amen. You had a little drink and you, ooh, ta-ta, ooh, sa, yay, Lord, right now, Jesus, hallelujah. Come on, I want you to lift your hands to the Lord right now. I want the Holy Ghost to sweep into this place. Yidabasadabaha. Anamaseya. In the name of Jesus. 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 Come on it. Come on, is anybody hungry and thirsty today in this house? Blessed are they which hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Come on, I feel God. Amen, is wanting to give you an experience. Amen, that's going to take you through the rest of your life. It's something you'll never forget. Hallelujah, in the darkest trial of your life. Amen, you're going to look back to the experience. When you drank from the well, that sweet water. Come on, prayer warriors, help me pray. Hallelujah, God's about to draw some people. Come on, God's pulling on some dry bones. Come on, what do you do with dry bones? You prophesy. I'm speaking it right now in faith. Come on, God's about to fill some people up in this room. Hallelujah. The tank is on E. You're wondering how. God, I want that anointing again in my life. God, I want that strength. I want that feeling again, God. I need it, Jesus. Come on. I feel the sweet presence. I saw he said, come on everybody in this room, I want you to take a few moments, find a place to pray. Come on, let's turn it into a prayer room right now. Hallelujah, in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Come on, we're not here just to stand around and greet people. God, I'm here, I want a drink. Come on, there's people that's tried everything. Everything the world had to offer, you tried it. Never satisfied. This is the real. That if a man would drink, he would never thirst again. Come on, pray with me. Pray with me. Come on, if you got to fight through the line of the enemy. If you have to fight through your own lies, your own beliefs, fight through them. Come on, in Jesus' name. Come on, in Jesus' name. Sahata. Come on. Come on, the more you cry, the better you're going to feel. The more you open your mouth and begin to cry, the more room you're going to make for this living water. Come on, in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Come on, in Jesus' name. Come on, prayer warriors. Come on, there's lies. Come on, he said, come unto me.
If my sacrifice is
come, weary,
giving you my
heavy laden, come on.
Help me remember how
come on, let him give you a drink from the fountain.
I will give you all. If all is what you ask of me, I will not withhold.
Come on, in the name of Jesus, I receive it, God.
Sacrifice and less than give.
I want it, God.
Help me.
Jesus' name.